And by that, I mean that in every good way. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for friends that meet at church. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. In your Bibles this morning, if you will, please, Psalms chapter 120. Psalms chapter 120. It troubles me, and yet it gives me great joy to know that we are the place in the Scriptures that God knew we would be today. The subject that we're going to be looking at today is a difficult subject sometimes to preach about. No, it's not money. I don't have any problem preaching about money, but this one, it bothers me to preach about. We're going to be talking about loose lips and talking about things that you ought not to talk about, and especially if the desire of your heart is to hurt someone, to cause injury, to cause wounding, to cause difficulties, to separate. You know, the Bible talks about a whisperer separates chiefest friends. And I've always believed that he who ceases to be your friend never was. But that scripture contradicts my thought on that, because the Bible says that a whisperer separates chief friends. And so we need to understand that it's a wicked thing. It's wrong. As we begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter 120, notice right down below the title, we have this subscription there that's written. And it's written on that verse, or that chapter, through chapter 134. And it says, a song of degrees. And all that we know for sure about that is, we don't know for sure what it is, but it's thought most of the time by people who study the customs of the time and so forth, that these were short songs that people sang on their way to Jerusalem to make offerings for the yearly different sacrifices that they would make. And on the way, they would sing these songs. And that seems to be fit what it is. And that being true, that being accurate, then evidently this young man or this person, and I don't know if it was David or not, I would not say it is David, nor would I say it's not David. I would say we don't know who it was, but this person, in fact, is there are several of these degrees, psalms of degrees, that we do know who wrote them, and another bunch we don't. But this much we do know. This is some of the things that Paul was talking about when he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of in righteousness, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. And so evidently this young man, as he was going to Jerusalem and getting ready to offer his sacrifice, he's talking to the Lord about the things on his heart. We mentioned that in Sunday school this morning, that when we approach the throne of God, we need to talk to him about the things that are bothering us. And we need to make sure that our heart is right when we begin to ask God for things. And so this is what he writes about while he's on his way to Jerusalem, getting ready to offer some sacrifice to the Lord for some special feast day. He said, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp swords of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. And may I say here in verse number 5, he's sojourning, he's traveling through Meshach. He's saying, I'm in the world. Meshach speaks of the world and all the complications we have as we live here as God's people in a world that hates him. He said, I'm passing through this place, but he says that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. And that speaks of again, the world, but it's talking about things that actually catch a hold of you and hold you and get you in its grip, and they don't turn loose, because he says there, while I only sojourn in Meshech, I dwell in the tents of Kedar. He said, there's a chance for these things to be bothering me too. And so, Lord, while I'm praying to you about this thing that's been brought against me, help me not to become so involved in praying for me that I forget that I am made of flesh also, that I can commit the same sins anybody else can commit. And so as we pass through this life, let us know for sure that we're on our way to heaven. You'll never have victory in your life until you settle it steadfast and sure. I know that I know based on the Word of God, based on what God has done, based upon my response to the death of Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I've dotted the I's and crossed the T's. I've looked into the Word of God. I'm satisfied that God is satisfied. I know I'm saved. But still, don't forget. Still, don't forget. We're in Kedar. And the things that bother other people can bother us too, because that which is flesh is flesh. And you can harmonize it and baptize it and vulcanize it and whatever else you want to do to it, it's still flesh. And it's still weak. It's still wanting. And we need to understand our need for the Lord Jesus. So he says in verse number 6, my soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. You know anybody that hates peace? You know anyone that just seems like they just have to keep stirring the pot and stirring the pot and stirring the pot? Notice the last verse. The last verse says, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And we certainly know some people like that. So it seems like this young man, I don't know if he's a young man, this man, the human author, has been grieved by a wicked tongue and some careless person that was more bent on hurting than helping. More decisive, I'm going to hurt the cause of Christ rather than I'm going to help the cause of Christ. Rather serving the devil than serving the Lord. And of course, we could ask ourselves the question, do we know such a person? Have we come in contact with such a person? Have we been affected by such a person? And then, of course, we could ask the second question, am I such a person? Am I such a person? I don't know why God brought us to this place at this time in history, this subject so apparent needs to be spoken of. I don't know why. That, in one way, fright is not the word, but it made me aware. Maybe I need to be paying more attention to some things that are going on around me that I have been benign to, that I've been oblivious to. Maybe I need to listen a little better and think a little harder about some things. I'm not sure what God wants to do, but I know this. I know that God knows. And I know that if I pay attention, God will let me know everything I need to know to do whatever I need to do that He wants me to do in the matter. And so we need to ask ourselves the question, do we know such a person? And are we such a person? And then not only is there the problem sometimes we have with a gossip, with a talebearer, with a tongue wagger, there's another problem we have too. And that's the person who will not put the first word in bad about someone, but they're good at asking the right questions and pulling all the information that you have stored up in your mind and heart, pulling it all out of you and then laying it out and finding which piece will hurt so-and-so the worst. And then they put together and they start parroting their program and their propaganda with a deliberate attempt to make themselves look better than they are and another person look worse than what they are. And that's what we're talking about here today. And so we need to understand that the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God and the study of God's Word is the best thing in the world to help a person who has diarrhea of the mouth. And that's exactly what it is. It stinks before God. God hates it. And so, first off, I guess we ought to... Well, I guess it's not first because we've already said some things. But next, we ought to think about this, and that is this, when we define gossip. What is gossip? What is gossip, actually? You know, the Bible says that in many words, there wanteth not sin. Sometimes, you know, the telephone used to be the thing that would do that, and people wagged their tongue back and forth on the telephone and hear everything about everybody in the community. And that's not the problem that it used to be, because now people have traded the telephone for the iPhone or the Android phone, and they get interested in other things besides just tearing out everybody's character. But sometimes they're looking there for things that they can use against somebody, just searching for evidence that they can use to slap someone real hard with. Here's the definition of gossip. Gossip is speaking about a problem that you are neither the cause of or the opportunity for it to be cured. If you're not the cause of the problem and you're not part of the opportunity for it to be cured and you wag your tongue about it, you're probably gossiping. You're probably injuring somebody. And so we need to be honest about that. Do you remember me saying Wednesday night that when I was in at Maranatha Baptist Church in Wauchula, Florida, I said this. On my GPS, often it'll come up and it'll say, you are approaching a railroad crossing. And it tells you that because when you cross a railroad track, sometimes, and it doesn't just have to be in Maryland, it doesn't have to be in Charles County, there's rough railroad crossings everywhere. We're not the only ones that have them. And, of course, when you have four-inch lips on the side of new move paved highways and stuff, you don't even have to wait to get a railroad crossing before you hit a big bump. But they do that. They give us those warnings so that we can slow down and kind of navigate through the problem and so forth. The other night, when Miss Judy and I came home on the airplane, and I've heard it a number of other times, the captain of the aircraft will come on and he'll say, would everyone please return to their seats? Return to your seats and buckle up. We're expecting some turbulence ahead. Brother Sutton just said that to you. Buckle up. We're expecting some turbulence ahead. Think about this for a minute. Here he says, in my distress. And could I tell you that slanderers impose a certain kind of danger? They impose a certain kind of hurt. It's difficult for the injured person to war against a slanderer. It's difficult, if not impossible. The damage has already been let out. The cat's already been let out of the bag. And here's an old saying for you that applies here. It's always easier to let the cat out of the bag than it is to put the cat back into the bag. Once a cat's been in the bag, he usually doesn't want to go back in very easily. And sometimes that happens. And it's difficult to war against something that has already been done, already been said. It's difficult to do that. It's easily believed by people who are wanting to make themselves look better than someone else. Why would people who have trusted Jesus, Jesus lives in their heart, why would we want to injure someone else so that we, in our own opinion, would take a notch up, and probably in everyone else's opinion, they wouldn't even know what happened until they get the full circle and then they understand, and then the person, the slanderer, is harmed by it sometimes more than the one they tried to work the slander on. Let's consider some thoughts for a moment about what God thinks about a wicked tongue. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16, beginning in verse number 16, the Bible says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Now, as we go through this list, you'll notice that he doesn't mention homosexuality. He doesn't mention long hair. He doesn't mention short skirts. He doesn't mention dancing. He doesn't mention theaters. He doesn't mention bowling alleys. He doesn't mention any of those things. But he does mention seven things altogether. He says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, and seven are an abomination to him. An abomination is something that it can be forgiven, but the results of it will continue to go. I give you an example. King David, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and the preacher showed up and accused him of it. He confessed of it, and the preacher said, you've been forgiven. But because you gave great cause to the enemies of God to blaspheme, you're going to pay for this the rest of your life. 400%. Four times David paid for his sin with Bathsheba. And the sin was forgiven. But the result of the sin was not withdrawn. It wasn't taken away. Oh, he lived. He wasn't killed. But still, there was a price to be paid. So an abomination is something that can be forgiven, but the danger of it and the damage of it can never really be undone and undone. So here he says, here's the six things. A proud look. The second thing is a lying tongue. Now, God's mentioned, this is God of the universe, who had hundreds of things he could have picked. And the second thing, when he's going to make a list of things that he hates, the second thing he mentions is a lying tongue. Do you know God can't even help a liar? Because until we agree with God about our sin, he can't even forgive our sin. We have to be honest with God and ourselves about our sin, or we just continue going on, and then pay the piper when we get down the road a ways. And so he says, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. I think that would take care of abortions. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift to run into mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. God mentions it twice. A lying tongue and a false witness that speaketh lies. And then he that soweth discord among the brother. And that's right up with the other two. So when God's going to mention seven things that he hates, gossip and lying, take care of three of them. You know, we sing the song, I love to tell the story. But that's supposed to be, I love to tell the story of unseen things above. Of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Too much of the time is I love to tell the story of the piece of dirt I picked up on so-and-so. Or the piece of dirt I wanted to give you on so-and-so, even if I made it up instead of picking it up. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 19, the Bible says, the lip of truth shall be established forever. But a lying tongue is but for a moment. Oh, you lie, you run some dirt on somebody, you're just so full of yourself and it feels so good, but it's just a little bit. And if you're saved, if the Holy Spirit of God lives in your life, it could be even while you're still telling the story, it could bother you and bother you and bother you. It's but for a moment, the Bible says. Proverbs 17, verse number 4 says, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips and ear to a naughty tongue. When you give your ear to listen to gossip, God, the words that God uses is a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips and ear to a naughty tongue. If you're listening to false lips or a naughty tongue, God, not Brother Sutton, God said you're a wicked doer. And you say, well, what does that mean? That means you're doing lots of things that God doesn't like. A wicked doer, wicked, wicked. Not bad, not so-and-so. Not everybody's doing it. It wouldn't matter if everyone was doing it. God says it's wicked, it's wicked. And the Bible says here that a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. So Proverbs 26, verse number 28 says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. When you pick up a false piece of dirt and pass it on, you're saying to everybody, I don't care how much you say you love that person, you're saying to everybody, God writes it down, you hate that person. That's a pretty serious charge. That's a pretty serious charge. But it's the one who has the right to make the charge that is making that charge. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattery mouth worketh ruin. Flattery, praising people when you know you don't believe what you're saying. Flattery. Slander. Someone said that slander really is the foulest whelp of sin. So he said, in my distress. What was his distress? Well, his distress was that someone was lying about him and someone was using a deceitful tongue about him. He's struggling with all these things. And he said, and then he asked the person, what shall be given unto thee? Or what shall be done unto thee? What's going to happen to you, you deceiver? What's going to be done unto you, you liar? He asked that question. And so the Bible says, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord. Now, the wisest thing to do is always talk to the Lord about something. Sometimes you'll hear a piece of dirt about yourself and you know it's a lie. And somebody says, don't worry about explaining because to your friends it's not necessary and your enemies won't believe you anyway. So don't worry about explaining yourself to other people. But you ought to wonder about talking to the Lord. So he said, I cried unto the Lord. Talking to man will just throw fuel on the fire. It'll just cause it to burn brighter. And trying to appeal to the honor of the slanderer is an impossible game also, because the slanderer has no honor. He has no honor. None. None. When you work to slander somebody else, you have no character. You do, but it's all bad. And you have no honor. There's no honor about you. No honor about me if I carry a piece of dirt from one person to another person. I'm speaking as much to myself as I am anybody. Verse number one, he says, I cried unto the Lord. And here's the surprise, and he heard me. What a wonderful thing that God would bend his ear to hear a sinner who's in trouble. He cries to man and makes the situation worse. He cries to the Lord and he gets real results. The Bible says, he heard me. He heard me. Psalms 34, verse 17 says, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. When someone slanders you, and I know it's uncomfortable. Been there, done that. Been there, had that happen. Somebody pick up your name and do it dirt. I remember when my mom's boys were leaving home, she gave us a plaque, and on there it said the essence of, your name is Sutton. Your name was clean when you received it. Please be sure it's clean when you give it to your children. And if you know you've done that, if you know your eyes are, your heart's right, but in the eyes of the Lord, you just need to leave some things with the Lord. My daddy said this one time, be careful when you're crossing the corral, because what you kick might just stick to you, and you take it the rest of your journey. We need to be careful how we deal with gossip and misspeaking and tale-bearing and all those kinds of things. The Lord will not hear a lie against me. The Lord will not hear a lie against me, but he will hear my prayer against the liar. And that's my best weapon to use. So the Bible says, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. It was a simple prayer. And his simple prayer was this, deliver me. Deliver me. Don't we want to get out of trouble when we find ourselves in trouble, even if it's not trouble of our own making? Deliver me. It's a simple prayer. And he wants delivery from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. And on his way to Jerusalem to offer to the Lord that which God expected him to offer at that particular time of year and that particular time in his life, on his way there, he said, oh God, please, 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 deliver me from lying lips and deceitful tongue. Deliver me from that. If you do that, Lord, I'll be most grateful. And then in verses 3 and 4, we see what the inspired writer has to tell us about what a false tongue receives. Well, he says, what shall be given unto thee? Or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. When we think about that, you know, the first thing we want to do in the flesh is when someone says something wicked about us, evil about us, one of the first things we want to do is jump in the car and run over to their house and brad their snout for them. See, Brother Sutton, I think about that from time to time. Yeah. Sometimes I think my flesh would feel real good if I did that, but I don't think God would feel so good about me if I did that. And so what do we do if that happens? Well, we can take revenge. But trying to take revenge is like cleaning up any kind of a mess. You best do it right or it's only going to get worse. If it's not done right, it's only going to get worse. And many times when you go back and try to correct something that someone lied to you about, all you do is you stir the coals, you make the fire hotter. People begin to pass on what you said there, and it just gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse. Romans chapter 12, verse number 17 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We err when we take anything that belongs to the Lord. We err, we mistake, make mistakes, when we take anything that belongs to the Lord. We're a thief when we take anything that belongs to the Lord. And the Bible tells us, God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And so when we take vengeance, number one, we'll never grease an axle as good as God can grease an axle. I promise you, none of your revenge, none of your thoughts, none of your workings and efforts, none of them can do for the situation what God can do for the situation. God knows both sides. God knows everything, absolutely about everything in this matter of what's going on between two people. God knows. And when we try to take revenge ourselves, we're stealing that which belongs to the Lord. And of course, the Bible tells us sometimes that when we do God's part, then he says, okay, that's enough, that's finished, we'll take care of it. We'll accept that then, and we find out that the case really isn't taken care of. So what awaits? What's going to happen to the person who is a talebearer, who is a slime slinger, who is a carrier of cursed things, who is a coarse things, a person who's wanting to run the reputation of a person? Well, the Bible says, sharp arrows of the mighty. Now, I thought when I read that the first couple of times, I thought, well, God is mighty, but he is almighty. So I don't think he's talking about himself. But I believe that God can direct the arrows of the mighty to the person who has loose lips, a person who has a black heart, a person who wants to harm somebody else with their mouth and their innuendos and their half-truths and their espousing things that absolutely are wrong. I believe God directs the arrows of mighty men. And those arrows strike a person and they cause all kinds of problems for that person. I don't think that the mighty men that God would have to deliver his arrows, I don't believe that person's going to miss the mark very many times. And then he says, the mighty, let me find out here what it says here. The arrows of the mighty, indicating it's more than just one. Someone's not going to just shoot an arrow up in the air and that's the end of it. Where it lands, nobody knows. No. This is mighty. God can direct those arrows and there are going to be many of them. And that's what the person who is a gossip can look forward to happening. And then he mentions coals of juniper. Juniper tree is a form of cedar. And it burns very fast. And it burns very hot. And so he mentions sharp arrows with the coals of juniper. So it's not just that it catches on fire. Even green juniper, pine needles. Even juniper needles will, if they're green, will burn and they pop and they scatter and they cause more fires and so forth. And God says that they burn fast and they burn extremely hot. And so if one of us here, one of you out there, if you've got loose lips and you're running your mouth, that's what you've got to look forward for. If the person you slandered is biblical enough, wise enough, has enough intestinal fortitude to wait and let you take care of it. That's what you have to look for. Here's something we need to remember. It's far better to be the victim of slander than it is to be the author of slander. To create it. To make it up. Just as a lady would set a mixing bowl in her on her counter in her kitchen and start grabbing the ingredients to make a cake or to make bread or whatever it might be, make cookies, she grabs them and puts them in. Just exactly like that, a gossiper will grab different things and make up this big story, make up this big detailed thing, trying to cause harm to someone, and it ends up coming back on them. But like all sin, gossip and backbiting and character assassinations and lies can be forgiven. Thank God. But before any sin can be forgiven, it has to be acknowledged. It has to be acknowledged. I have a big mouth. Lord, I am guilty of X, Y, or Z. Whatever sin you're guilty of, if we confess our sins, if we agree with the charge, when the Holy Ghost of God spears our heart and says, you're a gossip, and we say, oh God, you're right, I know that. You have agreed with the charge and it's forgiven. You don't have to go down the street beating yourself with a piece of silver chain. You don't have to put glass in your shoes and walk a mile. You don't have to crawl up steps and kiss somebody on the toe to have your sins forgiven. If we confess. Confess simply means to answer to the charge, to agree with the charge. And God never charges us foolishly, and he never charges us inaccurately. And so God says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we'll never have forgiveness of any sin until we acknowledge to the Lord Jesus Christ that we're sinners, guilty of a particular sin. You take going to heaven. Going to heaven is Jesus said I forgot what Jesus said in that case. So anyway, We need to understand that probably the most difficult thing for people to agree with God on is that they're a sinner. Because we have a tendency to compare ourselves with other people rather than to compare ourselves with the Lord Jesus. I can compare myself with some folk. Listen, I can find someone who's worse at most everything than I am. But when I compare myself to the Lord Jesus, I find out outside of him, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. I deserve hell. I deserve every bit of hell. I deserve hell forever if I approach God in my own self without the pardon of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when I come to the Lord Jesus and I acknowledge the charge, the Holy Ghost of God says, you're a sinner. And I say, you're right. And he says, you're on your road to hell. And I say, you're right. And he says, and Jesus is the only way out. And he died and shed his blood and rose again. And I say, really? He says, yes, really. And when I accept that in my heart and ask the Lord Jesus to be my Savior, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. But until I acknowledge my sin, there is no forgiveness. And if we sin in the flesh, we're going to pay in the flesh. Psalms 32 and verse number 5 says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. God says, think about that for a little bit. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 13 says this, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, and whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We need mercy. We need mercy. We all need mercy. If God dealt with us without mercy, he'd toast us in hell forever. But the Bible says if we cover our sin, I don't know whom I'm speaking to. I don't know whom you'll take this message to that God's speaking to. I don't know. I don't know. But God didn't bring us after 22, more than that, at least 22 sermons in Psalms chapter 119. God didn't bring us today to Psalms 120 without there being a reason for that. All the stallings, the times I was out of the pulpit and someone else preached and we missed a chapter, missed a verse, or didn't preach on that right, that day. We had to wait for another time. And today we came to Psalms 120. God's timing's never wrong. And so God's talking to someone today, either here or someone out there, or someone that we'll take this message to. God is speaking to someone, and God says this, if you cover your sin, if you don't acknowledge your sin, if you don't agree with what God said, and you cover your sin, you try to hide it yet more, God says you're not going to prosper. You're not going to prosper. In all of our areas of life, we want to be prosperous. Listen, I don't get up in the morning and say, Lord, well, what can I do to be a failure today? I'd like to be a failure as a husband. I'd like to be a failure as a daddy. I'd like to be a failure as a preacher. I don't do that. I want to be prosperous in all those areas. And one of the surest ways that I can throw away that prosperity and not prosper is to cover up sin when God reveals it to me. And so I beg you in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Remember that whoso confesses and forsaketh his sins, that person shall have mercy. 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 I had thought of giving you what I think is the best example of someone besmirching, trying to ruin the good reputation of someone. I have one very good personal reference, and I had thought to do that, to bring that up, and it's like God said, no, you've stirred it enough. You can turn off the fasten seatbelt signs now. You can tell people you're already across the railroad tracks. You can tell people now that's between them and God. It's their decision whether they prosper or not. It's their decision, not yours. Father, I thank you today for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, for how you bring us to certain places at certain times and show us certain things in those certain places that are accurate and good for the time in which we live. And